Famine has been widely discussed since the invasion of Ukraine, as Russia and Ukraine are both major producers of food and agriculture-related products. To better understand the risk of famine, as well as the hope of avoiding it, in this episode, we will discuss the 7 key ideas in agriculture from Peter Zeihan's newest book, The End of the World is Just the Beginning. To understand Zeihan's ideas about agriculture and about the world in general, you probably first need to understand his take on history. So when it comes to food, he would say something along the lines of civilization itself really depended on wheat. He defines this thing called the geography of success, which is a theme throughout the whole book. And the geography of success is all about the geography of good agriculture. It was deserts that could be well irrigated and that had rivers for moving things, and they were perfect places for growing wheat. It was all about getting people going on wheat. Again, back to Russia and Ukraine, I mean, these are places that really produce wheat. As civilization moved into the industrial era, we introduced synthetic agricultural inputs, such as fertilizers, to accelerate food production, and that's led us now to a world where we have so much food that even obesity can be a problem. That's the line of history that we've been on. So the first key idea from this book is Peter's thesis, basically, that in a world where the Bretton Woods order disintegrates, the world's interlinked agricultural system will shatter. And because agriculture was really the first step to civilization, and the most important, countries that used modern agriculture to industrialize will fall back to pre-industrial ways, or, to use a word from the book, decivilize. The second key idea is the way that disruption works in agriculture. Disruption in virtually any sector can disrupt agriculture, whether that's manufacturing to make parts that are needed for agricultural machinery, or that's energy. For example, energy is vital for wheat mills that run on electricity. Energy is vital for machinery that depends on gasoline. It can't be replaced by electric vehicle batteries because the machinery that's run in big agriculture, it runs for so long that the duration that an electric vehicle battery lasts just won't sustain the operations. So that capacity limit ends up being a limiting factor on the agricultural process. The third key idea is issues with meat. Meat will lack scale, transport, and affordable prices in the future that Zeihan writes about in his book. So without rich meat eaters, then animal husbandry will decline, and plant protein, which is more efficient, will rise. The fourth key idea is the impact that this will have on the real estate market. In a world with a perfect Bretton Woods system where things can be imported and exported easily, rural lands that could be turned into agricultural lands are extremely valuable. But if it's harder to import materials and harder to export the yields from that farming, then those previously valuable lands will lose their value, lose their economies of scale, and ultimately not become viable for good farming. The fifth key idea takes us to the country that Peter Zeihan always likes to talk about, and that is China and China's fragility. China's agriculture is the most hyper-financed in history. If you want to know more about China's finance, you can check out my episode on China's Great Wall of Debt by Denny McMahon, or my interviews with Denny McMahon, who's a financial journalist who covered China for the Wall Street Journal for several years. I'll put links to those in the description. But China depends on more fertilizer per calorie than any other country, and according to Zeihan, imports half its potash, which is vital for having the potassium necessary for farming. So with all of this adding up, China may be forced to deindustrialize and leave its people not as farmers per se, but more like gardeners due to the lack of materials and tools that they've been able to bring in and import for so long. Key idea number 6 is a dark one, and number 7 will bring us hope, but number 6 is that famine is a major country killer. So industrialization pushed climate change, it pushed all kinds of things that maybe people would balk at, but people don't want to go back. People don't want to give up their industrialized lives. They don't want to go to a pre-industrial lifestyle. So this makes for turmoil when people have to consider these things, when people are dealing with stuff like famine. So Zeihan says that famine is really the ultimate country killer. And people ask him what keeps him up at night. What are the things with him being so aware of so many issues in the world? And he says in the book that this is the one, that famine and the way that famine can kill countries is the thing that keeps him up at night. Okay, so key idea number 7 is hope. There is hope for a lot of these things. Peter and I discussed in our last interview digitization that can help with genomics and GMOs, and with facial recognition technology, actually, you can now use that to recognize every plant as well, kind of like we recognize faces with facial recognition, and determine how to most effectively and efficiently treat each plant in terms of what materials are going to be given to it at different phases in the growth cycle. So Peter says that together, all of these technologies could double yields by the year 2030.
Agriculture, however, there are some really interesting things going on. Genomics, whether it's GMOs or gene editing, at the rate they're expanding, they're probably going to be able to double yields within a decade. And if you combine digital recognition, you know, facial recognition for people, you can now do that for plants. And so a combine with a specific set of tanks on it and cameras can take photos of each individual plant, decide if it's a weed or a crop, decide if it needs fertilizer or a pesticide, and in one run, hit everything. So you're talking about things going, having to do two or three runs over a field for the entire season and you're done, as opposed to organic where it's something like 16, which will never work. But you combine those two, and assuming you can apply the inputs, assuming you can afford them and finance them, which is going to limit the number of places it can be done, to sell a lot of advanced countries with large row crop fields, you're talking about being able to increase yields by 250% before 2035. That's really impressive. We've never had that kind of expansion in yield growth. But again, it's only works in places that have the financing for the equipment and the inputs. And that means if you have to be in a large row crop environment like the United States or Canada or Australia, or have a government that's really involved in making sure their agricultural sector doesn't break down, like say France. So there's maybe a dozen countries that can do that. And that will allow us to feed an extra half a billion, maybe even a billion people. That's not enough, but it's a start.
He suggests that the way to prevent famine is to aim to increase yields and keep things local. And localization can bring back polyculture, and it can increase wheat planting, which could be very helpful. Countries like France, the US, and Canada have the finance, fertilizer, and fuel sufficient to continue their current production set. There's also hope in that many farmers may have been over-fertilizing, and that the excess potassium from over-fertilization is sort of baked into the soil, and that people can get by on that over-fertilization and the effects of that for the long term while there may be fertilizer shortages. So will we see a major famine? We don't know, but with all of these things to consider, yes, there is risk, and yes, there is hope at the same time. To learn more about the risks and potentials in agriculture, you can check out my discussion with Peter Zion regarding food security and my summary of his entire book, The End of the World is Just the Beginning. Links to both will be in the description and on the screen for those watching on YouTube. And if you're enjoying this and would like to support us, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review. These are great ways to support us. Thank you.